You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on February 19, 2025, and is titled, Leave It to the Ravens. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Hey, we'll have a good time tonight. A couple things I want to talk to you about real quick, and we'll get the Murphs up here singing, and then we're going to get in the Word. It's a very necessary Word, but I do want to let everybody know, I think most everybody knows, but Robin and I, after tonight, we're gone for the next 3 weeks. Curtis Preston is kind of lining things up. Alan Smyer does a lot of the Sunday morning and taking care of a lot of things on Tuesday. Gary Crannell will be here for the Tuesday stuff. So anyhow, I think sometimes I think one of the blessings around here is that we're gone some, and sometimes gone a lot, because this place will rise to the occasion. We don't have meetings. We just bump into each other on Tuesday morning. I say, hey, y'all, we're leaving. We'll be back when we get back. And everybody handles everything. People in this building can hear God just as good as I can. They'll bring a message. They'll help everybody go home, do the rest of your week or do the rest of your month, whatever. Things need to get tended to around here will all get tended to. And I think it's good sometimes that, you know, I had the Lord tell me one time. He said, you know, a rose won't bloom in the shade. You're going to have to get out the way. And so the preacher guy at the front that you guys got, he will never be your crutches. He may be your pain in your career, but he will never be your crutches. And so we're going to be gone for a little while, but it'll be good. We're going to be in Arizona, and we've got 3 horse sales and some stuff, and don't, you know, we might rope a little bit. And I told them guys back here tonight, I said, we got a good enough crowd, I may take up an offering right here before I go rope. See how that goes. But anyhow, the Murphs are going to be here doing stuff, and no telling what all they'll do. So anyhow, we want everybody to continue to gather up, continue to fellowship together, continue to be a part, and keep learning and growing so that you're as much a part of this as anybody else as far as the functioning body around here. And you guys that are online, be sure to stay tuned in, because whoever grabs this microphone around here will have sought the Lord first. That is guaranteed. And so you'll always be able to get something out of it. So don't, if you're a follower of Steve, you've already missed the boat. So just learn and grow around here while we're off doing what we do. And if you have a big problem, just call Curtis, call Alan. And what's your phone number, Curtis? Let me put that out on there. What's your phone number? Yeah. And so anyhow, before we get in the Word here and pray, just a prelude tonight, one of the reasons I thought the Lord has been so on time here the last few weeks, but the little message tonight out of 1 Kings 17 and 18, this is probably as necessary a word as I've spoken, or probably as I've heard spoken in the last month, especially since the inauguration. But I just want y'all to know one thing. You know, we touted Donald Trump around here for years now. I've believed that he was set apart, one of the few men, the only man qualified to do what he's doing. One of the things that America is real bad about is we just want the goose that lays the golden egg. And we were pretty sure that Donald Trump was going to be the goose that lays the golden egg. Let me tell you right now, so you know, and you heard it here, he's the guy that killed the goose. Okay? Heard that straight from the Lord today. He's the guy that's killing the goose. So you can quit looking for the golden egg. if you want a golden egg now, you're going to have to lay it yourself. So, this word tonight will help prepare you for laying your own eggs. And it'll prepare us for what's coming. Because I'm a guy that's not been very good at some things. And I've been in a financial disaster a time or two or three. I've been on an actual wanted poster by the IRS. I mean, I've really messed some stuff up over time. But every time we took it upon ourselves to reconcile the books and to get back to Plum without a bailout, without signing off at somebody else's expense, just pay it back. I learned that early, a long time ago, before I ever knew Jesus. We were living in our little single-wide trailer house, and every month we had month left at the end of the money, every month. And I was trading horses and doing everything I could, and them horses was cheap. And we put together a little set of horses and sent them to a guy in Tennessee. Every horse I had, I borrowed the money at the bank. I'm telling you, I had to swear my life away to get two nickels out of that bank. We were just kids. We were kids having kids. And the first load of horses, we did pretty good. The guy calls back. He wants another load of horses. I can't wait to make a little money. This time we might actually have a little left over. And he steals the whole load of horses off from us. Remember that? She remembers. Hey, it was about $7,000 in 1984. That was a lot for us. If you're people who are making about $900 a month, that's a lot. And I walked into that bank and I said, I got to tell you something. I did have a pickup and the trailer was paid for. It wasn't worth much. I threw them keys down and I said, you can have the keys in my truck. You can have the keys in my house. Them horses you loaned me the money for, I don't have. I don't have them. They stole them, and this guy's going to prison. He did actually go to prison. He did it not only to me, but some other people. And I said, but if you'll let me keep the keys to my house and the keys to that pickup, I'll pay you back. And I won't quit till I do. And I did. So the next time I tried it, and I walked into a bank and said, I got good news and I got bad news. He said, give me the good news. I said, we're out of the cattle business. He said, what's the bad news? I said, we're still partners. This time we had more zeros. And we paid it back. Why am I telling you this tonight? Because I'm going to tell you, we live in America today that's so addicted to free stuff. We're so addicted to every bump in the road, somebody bailing you out, holding you up, covering you up, crying your tears for you. Nah, church people, they're as bad as anybody else. Nah, suck it up, buttercup. Give an ear to the Lord and he'll direct your steps and he'll get you through it. He's not a genie in a bottle and he's not going to make everything go away and he's not going to make everything perfect and he's not the goose that laid the golden egg. But he'll walk you through the toughest stuff so that you'll be the best person. That easy road never made anybody anything. Learning how to be a man of your word and learning how to pay your own way and do your own stuff and using that Bible to do it and praying to God and listening to God, that's good for you. It's good for you. And when America gets back to that, we'll be a better America. So we're going to talk about that tonight because Donald J. Trump, Elon Musk, and all that bunch that them yahoos are yapping about on TV are slowly cranking that knob that's been shooting that money through that fire hose. And here in just a minute, it stops. And when it stops, it touches everybody. Nobody's immune. So tonight we're going to talk about a drought. And we're going to see what God does in the middle of a drought. And what God does with men who listen to him. So with that being said, let's pray and we'll get the Murphs up here for a minute. Lord, we thank you that you're a God we can trust. We thank you that you're the one who leads us through the tough times. You lead us through the valleys. It's not always on the mountain. It's not always easy. It's not always raining. It's not always fruitful, Lord. And so we're thankful that you're a God who recognizes every aspect of our life. You understand the hard times and the good times. Yet in the midst of everything, you work in the midst of everything for the good of those who love you and call to your purpose. So, Lord, we're looking for you to work us through it, walk us through it, help us navigate the waters of the days that are to come. And let tonight's message be a pivotal message, be one of those monumental messages where it's etched on men's hearts and minds so that we look back when we're looking around at each other and going, oh, man, can you believe this is happening? Yes, we can, Lord. And you'll get us through it. So, Lord, use this message tonight as a tool for your people as we proceed into the days ahead. And we give you all the glory, Jesus. Amen.
That reminds me of Robin's dream that she had a couple of weeks ago. You remember this story? It's a true story. It's one of those Emmaus true stories. Robin has this dream, and it's coming up on Valentine's Day. And she said, I saw it was Valentine's Day, and I opened this package, and there was diamond necklaces and diamond bracelets and diamond earrings. And so Steve's eyes get big, and so sure enough, Valentine's Day comes, and Steve's so excited, and he gives her this package, and it was book, How to Interpret Dreams.
I love that song in there because when I was saved at the cross, it was just a beginning. How many of you, all your Christian life, you've heard somebody's testimony when they got saved that day? They got saved, yeah, I did in 1995. But the testimony's been ever since. It's what we've been doing. We've been doing Christianity. Now, for 30 years, I've had church and Christianity has been all tangled up. Some of it's been beneficial. Some of it's been confusing. And then some of it's even been unnecessary. True Christianity, you know what true Christianity is? Living in a relationship with Jesus Christ to the point that you can hear him. Trusting him enough that you can sit still and wait. And become confident enough in your faith that you can move instantly at his command. Now I'm going to say that again because I believe tonight is, you know, all this stuff's always relevant and it's always important. But if you get this tonight, you got something. But you walk out of here tonight, if you don't already have this, if you get it and you put it into practice, you've got something for the rest of your life, no matter what. But that being patient enough, trusting enough, you've got to trust to be patient, to sit and wait on the Lord. Just like that cow dog I talked about last week. But then have the confidence that when you hear the voice of the Lord say, now, that you're ready to move. And you're ready to go, and you're ready to do whatever the Lord says to do. You know, the other thing is, we all waiting on the Lord to tell us to do something to go save the world. When you've never tried saving your house. We don't run off and do this and do that and hang around a bunch of church people and have somebody tell you what to do every day. But at home, I mean, us men, we've got somebody to tell us what to do, but really, at home, you adult people listening and here, who tells you what to do? Who tells you what to do? How many of y'all every day have decisions you have to make every day? And who tells you what to do? Now, you don't have to be told everything. When the light turns green, you've practiced enough. Mash on the gas. When it turns yellow, mash harder. You know, we can do some stuff on our own. We've been given a sound mind, not a spirit of timidity, not a spirit of fear, but a sound mind to where we can be confident enough to move with God without having to regurgitate it 42 times, chew on it forever, light 82 candles, have a prayer seance, or get everybody up on Facebook praying in the same direction. I need you to agree with me. I need you to agree with me. I don't even know what you're talking about. What do you mean agree with you? Won't you just agree with God and call it good? Who you got quiet? Won't you just agree with God? Call it good. In the everyday things of life. That's why I'm going to tell you about this tonight, because every day we're living this life. We're living in a prayer that most of us asked for. I know I did. I know I asked for this. And I asked God what I could do to help make it happen. So we have been doing this for a long time, full steam ahead, for one simple reason: that we believed it was the right thing to do. And I haven't veered off that not one millisecond. But I also know that doing the right thing is difficult. And doing the right thing means we got to do hard stuff. And we got to make tough decisions. And the things that we've got to reconcile, it's hard. You got to lay down your life to do it. I wonder how many men in America today who have built their own businesses, their own stuff, paid for their own stuff, and are willing to sacrifice every nickel of it so that this country can be reconciled for our kids. Because I know a lot of people my age are already having a hard time with some of this that they thought they prayed for and they thought they asked for. But when it came time for God to reconcile the whole world, He sent His only begotten. And the only hope of getting things back to plumb was to kill his kid. It's the only way to get back square. Otherwise, everything's headed for eternal damnation. So God, who owns everything, killed his kid to balance the books. How many of y'all believe tonight this is a very, very important word? And we fought the good fight, but we're not near done. And let me tell you how this is going to go. It's a great time for me to take a 3-week sabbatical, because this is not a time now. We've already done do what the preacher says. Most of these hirelings are not even shepherds. Most of them live in a self-confined office or cage somewhere where they're not affected by this. You saw them when 2020 came and COVID came. The first thing they did, they wasn't worried about people getting saved. They was worried about how you was going to do your giving. Are you going to do it on PayPal? Or what are you going to do? Because we can't all come to town. But you know, now my job is at stake. My livelihood's at stake. Good. This will be good practice for you. You might have to buy you a pair of posthole diggers or something. Come on out here. Come on out here where everybody's not pandering your direction. Come on out here. I told them in San Antonio this weekend, I said, you want your little light to shine, everybody gets in a big pile and this little light of mine. I'll tell you what you do. You light your candle, you go outside and find somebody that wants to blow it out. Now you'll find out what your wick's made out of. Get out of here where somebody's going to blow your candle out instead of hanging around everybody holding their candle. who's having fun yet. This is for real. Is raising kids for real? You dang right. They'll cause you to have a month left at the end of the money. My God, y'all got 100 of them. Got good ones, too. Yeah, y'all know it's tough, ain't it? Yeah, we already did it. So we done practiced on that one. Now we get to pat our own kids on the back and say, oh, yeah, we already did this. Go do it again. Good luck, honey. Little smelly little boogers are yours. Tell us how it goes, you know. Putting this into practice, Christianity into practice. The first point in Christianity is being able to navigate the waters of your own home in unison with God. Before you ever get trained to smile at a stranger at the grocery store, or to park in a different parking spot, or to open the door for somebody, all that silly stuff that they've been telling us about being nice and blah, blah, blah. The first thing you need to do, learn how to navigate the waters for your family in unison with God. That's Christianity. And then watch him work in your life. And then watch the miracles. Then what happens? Right under your own nose. We got so used to getting in a pile and God, we just need you to show up where we are and then show off where we are. Well, I've been a lot of places already today before I got here, and I've needed God to be with me the whole time. I really this morning needed God to bring a heater. That would have been nice, wouldn't it, Murph? What was it I told him today something about? I said, don't worry about it. Hell is already frozen over. It was so cold up there in that ice box this morning. But God with us doing our thing. If we don't put that into practice, how are we going to navigate the waters? Because our dependency as a nation on these crumbling institutions, they're crumbling, including your dependency on the institution of religion. It's crumbling. So as that crumbles, everything gets back to plumb. Do you know who has the advantage in all this? Those who wait upon the Lord will rise up with the wings of eagles. They'll walk and not grow weary. They'll run and not even faint. Those who trust in God. Those who know that while the drought is happening, the good shepherd, he will lead us beside the quiet waters. He'll still lay us down in the green pastures. But it's only his people. That doesn't include everybody that attends a synagogue or a temple on a Sunday morning. His people are the ones who are full of the Holy Spirit, who believe and trust the Word of God, who have a hunger for the Word of God, an affection for the Father, who are disciplined by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit. Those are the children of God. Not just simple professions of faith made with one's lips that include no voluntary action afterwards. Salvation at the cross is just the beginning. From that point on, you begin to change, you begin to operate different, you begin to walk different, you begin to do different. The children of God will navigate through this. You do know that this is necessary for revival in our land. It's the daily test that brings the daily testimony. It's the truth. And so when I'm always up here yakking about simple stuff, you know why? My life's pretty simple. I don't read a lot of books. I'm not telling somebody else's story. I think mine will be the most accurate. I don't think y'all need to show up here to hear the hurt hand information. But how God will keep you ahead of the game. How God will continue to show you things, speak to you. And the more you learn to wait on him, the easier it gets to respond just like this. If you'll do that, I'm not going to guarantee you're going to be a millionaire or anything. But you ain't going to get mucked out either. You'll be fine. And when you find yourself in the midst of a test, look for the opportunity. Because sometimes we need the lesson more than we need the blessing. America needs a lesson before they'll ever appreciate the blessing. Look in your Bibles, 1 Kings 17. It's a great story.
Well, that concludes our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.